Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I don't know. After watching this episode, I kind of want a pony.
I think everybody kind of wants a pony.
That's true, but I mainly want to share the salt lick, because salt is awesome.
Ugh. That's so gross. Before we get into this week's episode, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice, you know, wherever you listen to us. Let them know that you like us. Rate, review, subscribe. It really helps us out. It takes a few moments, and it definitely does get more people to listen, and we definitely like that. Also, apologize for the quality of my voice. I am still fighting off some awful illness that is trying its darndest to kill me, but I will not give in. I will continue to podcast about The Simpsons. Cold cannot defeat me.
That's what you get for trying to slay aliens with only your voice, Robbie.
I guess that's true. This week's episode, Lisa's Pony, episode 8F06, originally aired November 7th, 1991, written by Al Jean and Mike Reiss, and directed by Carlos Baeza. Al Jean and Mike Reiss were also the showrunners at the time. Apparently, they were working like 16-hour days, and then were spending like the wee hours of the night writing this episode. Jeez. So, a testament to their skill that this episode turned out so good. Spoiler alert. Hey, it's good, you guys. Its original broadcast finished 35th in the ratings for the week. Nielsen rating 13.8, approximately 12.7 million viewing households. Highest rated show on Fox that week. Continues the streak. The chalkboard gag. Bart Bucks are not legal tender.
But they should be, obviously.
They should be. We should all have our own currency. And then Matt can even further break down that thing that he talked about that one time that I didn't understand.
Not sure what you're referring to, but sure. I'll be happy to.
Seniorage, you were talking. We talked about
seniorage. Yes.
Yeah, that thing. I prefer seniorage. Like, I'm trying to say senor, you know, doing my best Spanish.
Well, you are an expert in languages, so, you know.
Yeah,
that works
out
pretty well for you.
Yeah, that's me, expert in languages.
Uh-huh.
I speak two languages.
Wasn't it Latin you took?
No, I took Russian, but I speak two languages. English and bad English.
Oh, right. So you speak British English and American English.
Yes, exactly.
we'll leave it to an exercise to the viewers to figure out which one of those is the bad English.
Yes. The couch gag is Homer lays down on the couch first, and then everyone sits on him. He's not too pleased about that. I'm still waiting for something that tops that mutant. I don't think it's going to happen, the alien thing.
No.
This episode features Frank Welker as the voice of Princess, the horse. The pony. Frank Welker he's been on The Simpsons before. He's been on it a lot of times. He does a lot of animal noises. He's does Nibbler in Futurama as well.
Does the horse even make a noise? I don't remember it making noises.
Makes horse noises. He makes horse noises. He makes animal noises. He's very good at it. You don't even notice.
Fair enough.
First appearance of Lunch Lady Doris in this episode. She's a judge for the talent show. And Dan Castellaneta won an Emmy for this episode.
Well deserved. This is definitely a Homer and Lisa heavy episode, and he does a great job in this.
Yes. The episode begins with a parody of 2001, Space Odyssey, with all the obelisk and the monkeys, all the chimps kind of, you know, doing chimpanzee things. But Homer, all the other monkeys are like, you know, starting fires and, you know, showing signs of evolution. Homer just leans up against the obelisk and makes it lean over a little bit. It's a dream. He's asleep at work. He gets a call from Lisa. She needs a new reed for her saxophone for the talent show that night. And Homer has to get it for her. She has tried everyone else.
I called her. She's not home. I also tried Mr. Flanders, Aunt Patty, Aunt Selma, Dr. Hibbert, Reverend Lovejoy, and that nice man who caught the snake in our basement.
Wow. And after them, out of all the people in the world, you chose me.
So Homer
I would still put Homer way at the bottom of every other list. I'd be calling random numbers in the neighborhood like, hey, you don't know me, but can you give me a read?
Yeah, anyone really. I think that's kind of what they're hinting at, that Lisa already does not have any kind of trust in Homer. She does not think, and he takes down what read is, writes it on the bottom of his shoe, which, is that a thing people do?
I don't know about the bottom of shoes. I write stuff on my hand all the time, but never shoes. That seems difficult and somewhat permanent.
Yeah, I've written stuff on my hand before to remember I'd never written something in my shoe. The bottom of Homer's shoe also, as note, has a hole in it. It says, there's a note that says, fix this with an arrow at the hole in his shoe. Homer is going to the music store, which is King Toot. 5 minutes till close. It's right next door to Moe's. So Homer decides to go to Moe's first and drink a beer for, you know, in 5 minutes before he gets to the music store. Of course, it doesn't work out. He ends up insulting the music store owner who is at Moe's with him. Eventually, Moe calls in a favor, to the guy to reopen the store. At the same time, we are seeing the talent show. We have Bart doing, Boy of a Thousand Voices, I believe is his gimmick, even though he just basically makes fun of Principal Skinner and Lunch Lady Doris. Bleeding Gums is a big fan of Bart. He gives him a 10 on his little sheet. So,
well, yeah, because that's how Bleeding Gums rolled, man.
Yeah, the judges are Bleeding Gums, Lunch Lady Doris, and who's the third judge? I can't remember.
God, you had to ask.
We also get Chinese gymnast students. They're like doing like a chair routine, all kinds of crazy gymnastics.
Sherry and Terry doing that?
Is it? I thought it was just some weird. I don't remember seeing Sherry and Terry. I thought it was just some weird kids, and I thought they were Chinese. We also get in the background, I believe, at Lisa's phone call, we get a kid doing the little crystal glasses filled with water and the little ring, 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 that thing.
He's a pretty good job.
Yeah, it does. Homer is trying to figure out what he can't. He knows what reed she needs. He can't remember the instrument.
Clarinet?
No.
Oboe?
No.
Saxophone?
No. Wait a minute. What was that last one again?
Saxophone.
Lisa, stop playing that stupid saxophone. Yes, that's it.
Alto or tenor?
Come on, Homer.
You know, that's being a saxophone exclusivist, because what about soprano sax? What about barry saxes? Come on, man.
Homer, come on. Come on, man. You don't know? You can't think of a saxophone right away?
But you think he'd at least be able to pick it out from two of them? Like,
yes.
Which one does it look like?
I guess that's what eventually does happen, because he eventually does get the reed. At the same time, Marge is, she's trying to placate Lisa. She's imagining what Homer is actually doing with his time. I believe there is changing a tire, getting abducted by aliens. She concludes that he's probably just drinking a beer, which is not, it's half right. Homer does show up, but it is too late. Lisa's already had to go on without a real reed, and she has to suffer through what is a not great performance.
Sounds like that golfer I caught in my lawnmower.
I hate to be that kid's father. Uh-oh. That'll do.
It's not my fault. It's the reed.
Oh, yes, of course. It's the reed. Let's hear it for Lisa Simpson and her wacky sax.
It's just heartbreaking. Lisa's tearing up. She's tearing up by the end of it. And Skinner is even... God, he can't even... No compassion there.
Such a jerk.
I know, really. Come on, Principal Skinner. Of course, earlier in the act, we have seen him talking with Mrs. Krabappel about how it's the worst yet ever. It gets worse every year. But with that, Lisa's heartbroken. Homer's late to the show. We go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer immediately trying to make it up to Lisa with the Mount Bellyache, a monstrous thing of ice cream that literally takes a wheelbarrow to deliver to the table. It costs $88, apparently. At least it takes one, not even a whole bite, like a half bite, and says she's done. Homer is, of course, distraught at this, and Lisa tells Homer that she forgives him, but Homer says, no, you didn't mean that, and Lisa says, no, of course I didn't, because Homer is a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah, really. It's pretty reprehensible, and like, yeah. Yeah,
like our question from last week, reprehensible things Homer does. This is up there, and I'm pretty sure someone mentioned this. Yeah. So Homer goes home, and he starts watching through all the old tapes of Lisa, where he realizes that oh, look, through all the tapes, Homer's in them, but he's not anywhere near Lisa because he said, oh, are you taping it? I'll watch it later. Well, that doesn't work out so well, does it, Homer? So, of course, Homer tries to make it up to Lisa. He starts spending all kinds of time with her, having a tea party, which gets broken up by Milhouse and Bart, because they think it's hilarious that Homer's having tea. He's tries to push Lisa on the swing, and she just falls right off. Because Lisa, you can see, the animation in this episode is really good, because you can see Lisa's face throughout all of this. She's got this, I would call it a melancholy expression on her face, that's just, she's not, like, horribly sad, she just kind of looks depressed. And she's just not, you can tell she's not into it, but she's just going along with it because she doesn't care. And of course, Homer finds this a little disheartening and has to express it to Marge.
Maybe I should just cut my losses, give up on Lisa, and make a fresh start with Maggie.
Homie, you've got to stop looking for the quick fix. If you keep spending time with Lisa, she'll forgive you.
Marge, if I spend any more time doing these girl things, I'm gonna, you know, go fruity. No, you were right the first time with that quick fix idea. Let's see. Quick fix. I'll buy her that pony she's always bugging me for.
We can't afford to buy a pony.
Marge, with today's gasoline prices, we can't afford not to buy a pony.
That's ridiculous.
Marge, I've got to get her a pony. When I look in Lisa's eyes, I don't see love anymore.
That's no reason to buy a pony.
See? Even when you yell at me, I can see love in your eyes.
Stick to the subject.
Uh-huh, you love me.
Let's be realistic. A pony is very expensive, and we have enough trouble paying bills as it is.
Yeah.
You sound like you're going to buy a pony. Promise me you won't. What was that? Was that a yes or a no?
Buh.
Those aren't even words.
Snap.
I love it so much. I still say to my fiance all the time, haha, you love me. Between that and the fake words, the buh and the snuh, it's just... That's a great interaction.
It's a good way to get around an argument. Meh.
It reminds me of an old That 70s Show bit where Kelso promises Jackie he promises her he won't model his underwear, because you know those are words. Totally. Technicalities, guys. Technicalities.
That's we're adding the 70s That 70s Show to our future podcasts.
Oh, definitely.
Along with
definitely.
Along with King of the Hill, Wings, and now That 70s Show. Oh, we're having some
Wings, really?
I guess so. We have to watch it now, Matt, because you like it so much.
Oh, apparently. I don't have that much, but That 70s Show, definitely. Anyway, moving along. Homer, of course, at this point, decides that he is going to try and get a pony. And he goes to the pet store, because that's where you get the ponies or pets, that's where you get them. And of course, the guy there is the, what do we refer to him as?
The wise guy.
That's right. Is the guy apparently who works at the pet shop and smells Homer coming, which is kind of hard to do in a pet shop, but hey, apparently that's the way Homer is. And he tries to trick Homer into taking a Scottish deerhound as a pony. Luckily, Homer can read, barely, but he can. I love the guy's comment. Oh, you're smarter than I gave you credit for. You should try the pony farm. So Homer goes to the pony farm, where he learns that, unfortunately, ponies and horses in general are a little more expensive than cats and dogs. At first, the owner tries to get him to purchase a $500,000 thoroughbred, which just, I think she says he was sired by Seattle Slough and his mother won the Kentucky Derby, which I'm pretty sure makes it a horse and not a pony, lady. Come on. Seriously, don't you know your own product?
I don't think it matters that much. She is a model after, Katharine Hepburn, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Katharine Hepburn.
Very proper, very prim.
Very British.
Yes.
Or Atlantic accent, if you believe in that sort of
thing.
Yeah,
patrician.
That's a perfect word to describe her.
Yes.
But Homer finds out that the cheapest pony is $5,000, and that, unfortunately, there is no pound where you can pick up cheap ponies that ran away from home.
I actually think there are. At least where I grew up, in near Ocala, Florida, there are people who just give away horses.
There's a reason they call Ocala the horse capital of the world. It's because everyone has horses, and I'm sure there's a few whose behavior was so egregious they just let them run away from home. So yes, as much as you've seen stray cats and stray dogs in other towns in America, you will definitely see stray horses in Ocala, because yeah. Anyway, Homer decides that no matter what, $5,000 or not, he's going to get Lisa a pony. So he goes to his employee credit union, where he found that, unfortunately, the clerk can't approve a loan that size, but somebody else can.
Hello. Simpson, how can I help you?
Mr. Burns, you do this personally?
No, it's a hobby. I'm not in this for any personal gain, heavens no. By the way, are you acquainted with our state's stringent usury laws?
Usury?
No, silly me. I must have just made up a word that doesn't exist. Now, what is the purpose of this loan?
I want to buy a pony.
Isn't that cute? Smithers, he's planning on joining the horsey set. That is it, isn't it? You're not planning to eat it.
No, I need to get it for my little girl because she doesn't love me anymore.
Shut up, Simpson.
Sorry.
Do you have any collateral?
Oh, Smithers, let's not be so cold. His spirit is my collateral. To sign this form, the money will be yours. Sorry, I was just thinking of something funny Smithers did today.
I didn't do anything funny, sir.
Shut up.
So great.
There are so many great things in there, from the whole usury laws. By the way, kids, look up your state's usury laws. They are very important. That's money lending, in case you don't know. And contents clues weren't appropriate. And that's something funny the Smithers did. That's just...
I haven't done anything funny today.
Shut up, Smithers. I have to say that. Horror I have to say that quite frequently. Yeah.
It's Burns is like a... Like, his, when he... creates jump scares. It's always satisfying.
That's true. He is a very quiet old man. Able to sneak up on you.
Yeah.
So, of course, Homer gets the money. We never really go into how he pays it back, but...
No, we
don't.
Way. No, we don't.
That's how we roll with The Simpsons. But he gets the money, he buys the pony, and we get some very Godfather-esque music as we... You know, a camera pans in through the house into Lisa's room where she wakes up with a pony's head in her bed. Luckily, this one's still attached to the pony. So she wakes up and, of course, she basically knocks the door to her parents' bedroom open and rides in. And of course, she's a natural. She's already riding the pony bareback, which is ridiculous. But, you know, that's the way TV rolls.
Yeah, I think it's that she's so already at one with... The pony that she names Princess.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But of course, Homer is super excited, Marge less so. At breakfast, Lisa introduces Princess to Santa's little helper and Snowball too, and asks them not to treat her any differently because she's different, or don't exclude her because she's different, which I'm sure was at the top of the minds of the animals, because that's what they do. They exclude people.
Mm-hmm.
Cats, I'm talking to you. And of course, Homer thinks, oh, yeah, we'll just keep the pony in the garage between the cars at night and let it roam free throughout the neighborhood throughout the day. Which luckily Marge and Lisa say, no, that's not going to work. And Homer has to go back to where he purchased the pony and pay some surprisingly cheap fees, I would think, for actual costs for keeping a pony. I believe all the costs add up about $530 a month.
Yeah, which not that bad.
It's not bad. No.
For considering, but, like, it's taking care of, like, a gigantic animal and giving it housing and food and all that, that's not really that bad. I mean, it's more than they can afford, but it's...
Right, because, you know, the Simpsons are destitute.
Yeah, it's not like it's $5,000 a month or something like that.
That's true. Not to mention, she's also teaching Lisa how to ride, among other skills.
Plus, I'm teaching your daughter riding, grooming, and at no extra charge, pronunciation.
Father, you've made me the happiest girl who ever lived.
Oh, nuts.
So unfortunately for poor Homer, that is a lot of money, and as we fade to black, we wonder, what will Homer do?
Yeah, I know, it's a mystery. Great. It starts, the third act starts with something I completely forgot about, which is Grandpa and Bart playing a video game.
And Grandpa doing pretty well.
Well, he doesn't know what he's doing, but he's doing well despite himself. Eventually he does explode and Bart's exasperated, and Grandpa is... Lisa now loves Homer. The pony has changed everything. She's enraptured by her father. She calls him at work, says she loves him, you know, and Homer obviously, you know, is loving that she loves him, at least at first. Marge is being the bookkeeper, like she does for the household, and she basically lays it out for Homer, like, we can't continue like this, we don't have enough money. And Homer, and she suggests that they stop buying so much beer, which Homer dismisses out of hand. At this point, Marge is like, I don't know what to tell you. We can't afford it. Homer goes to the Quickie Mart and is kind of gets a scratch off ticket and tries to fool Apu into giving him $10,000. Apu's not going to give him the 10 grand. I don't know what Homer's thinking, but of course, what is it? Cherry, and then what's Liberty Bell, and then what? Is it cherry?
And then it's a cherry.
The cherry.
And then
the
he's like, oh, woohoo, 3 Liberty Bells.
Apu is very disappointed that Homer would try and deceive him, but he makes an offer at the same time. Well, how about you work for me? You work the night shift, midnight to 8 a.m., and you can pick up those hours, get yourself some extra money. And Homer agrees to it. Eventually, Apu is basically training him, gives him some pointers.
I won't lie to you. On this job, you will be shot at. Each of these bullet wounds is a badge of honor.
Badge of honor.
Here's a pointer. Try to take it in the shoulder. Now, these hot dogs have been here for 3 years. They are strictly ornamental. There's only one bozo who comes in and buys them.
But I... Oh.
We learn a little bit about the Quickie Mart's meat policy, which later gets them in trouble. It later gets Apu in trouble, which I think is an interesting callback. That is included in Apu and Homer. Homer and Apu? Homer and Apu.
Homer and Apu.
Homer and Apu. We're cutting back and forth between Lisa kind of enjoying her time with Princess, then bonding. There is a moment, a weird Ralph moment, where he doesn't talk like himself. It's very strange. You remember that, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, like about trying to tame Lisa or something like that. I imagine that's a reference to something, but it's Ralph who says it, and it's very not Ralph thing to say.
Yeah,
to say.
Definitely. It's like, oh, but what man could tame her?
Yeah, it's a little weird. Eventually, Homer's trying to sneak around this, that he doesn't want the family to know that he's working two jobs, but eventually he comes home at 8 a.m., and Marge is a little curious and asks him how he plans to do this, and he gives her what his plan for his schedule.
I'll work from midnight to 8, come home, sleep for 5 minutes, eat breakfast, sleep 6 more minutes, shower, then I have 10 minutes to bask in Lisa's love, then I'm off to the power plant fresh as a daisy.
Oh my God, she killed him.
So... yes, it's Homer's plan is brilliant. I'll sleep for 11 minutes a day. I'll be fine. This is a great montage of Homer, like, working at both the power plant and the Quickie Mart, basically half sleeping on the job the entire time. We find out that Apu is apparently dating the dancer from Homer's Night Out. What's her name again, Matt?
Princess something.
Princess something.
Oh, God. Yeah. Shauna Tifton is her actual name.
That's all we need. We have her actual name. I think that's good enough. Apu is apparently dating her, and he's very upset at Homer's not, you know, being a terrible employee, basically. But Homer is, you know, going back and forth. He's like half asleep almost constantly now. We do get a really amazing visual sequence, which is an homage to Little Nemo in Slumberland, a cartoon from near the turn of the century that went on for a long time, and they still publish iterations of it even to this day. But there's an entire sequence of Homer falling asleep while he's driving, and then he's imagining he's flying in a bed through the air, and it's quite beautiful, actually. It's and really funny and a great visual sequence.
If there's one thing that Simpsons does really, really well is dream sequences. They're always ridiculously gorgeous, and the music and sound effects are always great. Apparently, dreams are what they're just the best at.
And they mimic, whatever they're going, like, this Slumberland sequence really does mimic that visual style really well, and they're always really good at it. Like, I think that's why so many people, think about The Simpsons as the originators of this kind of humor and this reference, because they didn't do it half-ass. They went for it. They did full animation style, whatever they're, like... The Algonquin Round Table is another kind of reference earlier in this, even in this season, where in the end of last season, where they completely ape that style, and it fits in seamlessly with the rest of the episode. Eventually, Homer is so tired, and he ends up falling asleep in the garage, in the car, and the whole family's there. And basically, Marge breaks it down to Lisa about what has to happen.
No one's going to make her. This is something Lisa has to decide for herself.
All the years I've lobbied to be treated like an adult have blown up in my face.
So Lisa is stuck. You know, Marge doesn't want to tell Lisa that she has to give up Princess. She wants Lisa to make this decision for herself. And of course, Lisa makes the right decision, because it is Lisa, and that's kind of what she's, that inherently good kind of ethics that we know her for. This is a terribly sad scene where she is explaining to the stable master lady what Princess likes and her, you know, what she enjoys and stuff, and it's really, really sad, because even in this very short amount of time, we really have got an idea of how much this pony means to Lisa. I mean, she's an 8-year-old girl, and you're taking away this beautiful animal that she just has gotten to know. But she does make the right decision.
And is everything that she's always wanted. It's like she's asked for it every single year for Christmas. Ever since the first episode, she was asking for a pony for Christmas.
That's true. It was the very first episode. She does make that decision to give up Princess, and she goes to the Quickie Mart to let Homer know.
Dad, I understand the sacrifice you've made for me. That's why I gave up the pony.
You did?
Mm-hmm. There's a big dumb animal I love even more than that horse.
Oh, no. What is it, a hippopotamus?
I mean you dummy.
Oh.
Come on, a hippopotamus. Everyone knows elephants would make the best pets.
Well, yeah, we'll find out soon enough about that. And the episode ends with Homer giving Lisa a piggyback ride. It's really adorable. And Apu, you know, shouts off into the sunset or the sunrise, I guess, about how he stole and he slept, but he was the best convenience store employee ever.
It's true, he really was.
And the episode ends with that. That's a very good episode, man. I can't, there's no bones about it.
It really is. I mean, it's a little light on the jokiness, but there is enough there to make it funny and heartwarming at the same time. It's just, it's very tight. There is literally not a wasted minute in this, because all three acts are completely jam-packed with stuff happening. So there's no time to get bored or let your mind wander. It is a just extremely well-paced, well-written episode.
Yeah, and it really shows Homer, like, I think this is a better representation of Homer as kind of what we like about him, is that... Yes, he makes a terrible mistake, and yes, he does hurt Lisa's feelings, but then we see the incredible lengths he goes to try and please her. Like, not just the getting her a pony, but working two jobs and not sleeping, basically. You know, it's that fact that he's willing to go that extra mile when he really wants to get something. When he realizes he made a mistake, he will go that extra distance to try and fix it. And especially when it comes to Lisa, like, and Bart, I don't think it hits as hard as it does when it's with Bart, but I think, like, we are touched on, especially when Flanders failed, the bad Homer, but in this it's balanced out. You get bad Homer, but you also get really obviously loving Homer. Like, he obviously cares a lot about Lisa and how she feels.
Well, it's just interesting that I feel like the entirety of what happens to Homer in When Flanders Fails takes place within the first act of this episode. He very quickly realizes, you know, what's wrong. And then we see, had Flanders Failed been an hour-long episode, the second half of this episode would have involved something like that quickly.
Yeah, it's very good. It's going to be a tough one to rank. We're gonna have to suss it out a little bit. But we'll rank it at the end of the show. Next up, remind you guys, please send in your submissions for My Favorite Episode. Simply email them at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com. Title it My Favorite Episode, and explain why any particular episode is your favorite. We have a few coming up. I'd always like to see more, of course. So please keep sending them in. Next up, comments from the news group. There's a lot of stuff after this episode, Matt. A little bit of criticism about it being too sappy, about the it's I think that they've seen a run of kind of emotionally centered episodes, and there's a little bit of criticism about that. Of course, as much criticism as there was, there's an equal amount of people, you know, kind of responding and saying, no, there's still plenty of acerbic humor and kind of the cynicism that we really do enjoy about The Simpsons. But, you know, it's an equal share, which looking back now is funny because this is like, they're looking at like the lists of all time best episodes. This is on a lot of them. A lot of people hide this episode in very high regard.
Wow.
Other thing, Bart, apparently The Simpsons appeared on Sesame Street singing a song.
Oh,
I think I mentioned it. The biggest thing actually, and it's something I think we're going to broach as we go on. We mentioned a Pooh earlier, and this is, we're getting a little bit more and more of a Pooh as this series goes on, and as with all the supporting characters, they're kind of fleshing them out as they go. There's a serious question was raised on the news group, and it's, is a Pooh a racist caricature? And, you know, it's kind of mixed. There's, and it's actually a well-reasoned, kind of discussion is occurring. It's not just people yelling at each other, which is really refreshing to read about. I don't think we can really completely tackle this subject in this episode in particular, but I think as we go along and eventually, especially when we get to Homer and Pooh, we can actually talk about it in depth. I think there's evidence on both sides of the argument, frankly, but I think it's definitely a discussion that should be made. I think it's interesting that it happens so early on. Like, I mean, Pooh is barely, I mean, he's just kind of in the background so far. He hasn't really had an episode all his own, and he's not going to for a few seasons yet, but
that's true. But I feel like this is the first episode where you see Apu anywhere really outside of the Quickie Mart. I mean, you see him, you know, with his girlfriend and sort of thing. It's the first time you see him as more than just an employee. And so I think it's the perfect time for that discussion to start.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. Okay. So Matt, with that, I think we can go to the segment that is what talk of the nation, talk of water coolers, talk on the street. Hot, you know, everyone is just endlessly excited about this segment, and you know what that means, right, Matt?
Ooh, I don't know. What does that mean?
It means it is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge. The No Google Trivia Challenge is when Matt and I will each bring three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, and try and challenge each other, try and stump the other, and see how well we do. Matt is generally done better than me, but we'll see how it goes. I think I got some tough ones for him this week. I do ask for you guys to submit themes. This week's theme is trivia from season 8 in particular. Brady on Twitter had sent me this, and I think it's a great idea because it's his favorite season, and it is my favorite season as well. I make no bones about it. Season 8 is my favorite. So we limited our questions exclusively to season 8 episodes. I'm ready for this, man. Are you ready? I'm going to ask. I'm going to go first.
You do that.
This is my easy question. The Lord help you if you don't know this one. Who does Lisa help in The Old Man and the Lisa?
Well, really, Lisa helps us all, but in that episode, it's mostly Mr. Burns.
That's true. Yes, Mr. Burns.
All right, easy one for you here. In the episode Simpson Califragilisticexpialidocious Annoyed Gruntius.
Okay.
that episode is based on which Disney film?
Is it Ricky Rouse or not? Or Mary Poppins.
Oh, you were joking. I get it.
Yeah. Yes.
That is correct.
Good. You ready for your medium question?
I am.
What treatment does young Ned Flanders go through to treat his temper tantrums?
I believe that's the University of Minnesota Spankological Protocol.
That is correct. That's correct. I was the only question was like, can he get that whole thing in the right order?
That is one of my favoritest episodes.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
All right, your medium question, sir. In Homer versus the 18th Amendment, mm-hmm. What do Bart and Homer disagree on? What is good luck?
Is it breaking a mirror?
No. I'll give you a hint. It's during their chase sequence. And they're being chased by the cops.
Is it? I can't remember. You're stumping me, Matt.
Oh, no. 3 seconds.
What is good luck? I don't know. I can't remember. I honestly don't remember.
Knocking over gravestones.
Oh, right. Gosh, how could I forget that?
Dad, knocking over gravestones is bad luck. Really? I heard good.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready for this one, Matt? This is a it's either you know it or you don't. I don't think you can suss this one out, but I think you know this. I'm going to say it right now. I think you know this one. It's hard, though. I could not name it off the top of my head. In Brother from Another Series, what is the only civilization in history that considered hydrological engineer a calling?
The Cappadocians.
Told you. I knew you'd know it. Gosh.
Actually, I actually just listened to a podcast that mentioned the Cappadocians.
I should have known you would have some kind of
weird
encyclopedia.
The Ask History subreddit is a great subreddit, and their podcast is second to none.
Okay.
For all you history fans out there, r/ Ask History podcast.
Hit me. I can't breathe. Hit me with a hard one. Let's go. We'll see if I can redeem myself from not getting the meeting.
All right. This is actually not that hard, but I just thought it was hilarious when I was looking through the episodes. In Homer's Phobia, what is the Japanese Santa's name and where does he live?
I can picture him so easily. It's like something like a gift something or present something. I can't remember. I'm terrible.
You sure now?
I'm terrible. I can't remember.
I believe the phrasing in particular is, he's annual gift giver man and he lives on the moon.
Ah, annual gift giver man. I knew it was something along those lines. I just couldn't get it. I'm terrible. And you guys know, we're just going to, if we ever go to trivia, Matt is going to be the one who leads. I'm just going to be the backup in case his brain explodes or something.
Only if for Simpsons stuff.
That I don't know about that, man. You're pretty good at trivia in general. You did just reference the Cappadocians, and that was out of Simpsons sphere, I suppose. I do have some questions from our listeners, Matt.
Ooh,
and these are I've got some really good ones. You guys have been sending them in pretty steadily. I've been keeping track of them. I really really like them. I'm gonna give you a couple of variety of some easier ones. I mean, I don't think any of these are easy, but I will give you some easier ones. First, we have from Danny at WishDanny8 on Twitter. WishDannyH, who is the number one realtor of the West Side?
Cookie Kwan, of course.
Cookie Kwan, of course. You're right. You are right. So this is from let's see, Sean at SeanyMac15. How many official sideshows have been on the Krusty the Clown Show, and name them?
Let's see. Sideshow Melon, Sideshow Bob. There's definitely Sideshow Raheem. Mm-hmm. He's a very angry man.
Mm-hmm.
Are we just going for ones that have sidekick in the title, or all of the tertiary characters?
All the any sideshows in particular.
Okay, sideshows in particular.
That's three. Mm-hmm. You got three.
How many total are there?
I can't tell you. That's part of the question.
That's
a tough one.
Yeah, those are the only three I can remember.
I named Bob and Mel off the top. I got a different third one than you, but I couldn't name the other.
Ooh, what was the third one?
Luke Perry.
Oh, that's right, from the Krusty Comeback Special.
Yeah, Sideshow Luke Perry. There's six in total. The other two are Phil and Cassandra. Wow.
Phil and Cassandra.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, really.
Those don't sound familiar at all.
Okay.
I will have to look those up.
Finally, okay, this will be the last one for today, and I'll save the rest for future episodes. This is from Rob, aka Rattrap 007. What is the Crazy Cat Lady's given name?
Oh, God.
I did not know this one.
I feel like I know it, but it's not coming to mind. So, no more wasting time. I give up.
Dr. Eleanor Abernathy.
Oh, isn't there an episode where it's like back in time and you see her as like a doctor? And it's the episode, the documentary filmmaker. You meet her when she used to be normal.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, I really like you guys sending in questions. Please keep sending them in, and please keep giving us themes to center our questions around. Really appreciate that as well. If I haven't read your questions yet, do not worry. They will be included eventually. I have them all in a big giant file. I'm going to work through them. Yeah, you can send them to our Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. You can tweet at us at SimpsonsShowPod, and you can also email at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, love to hear from you guys. Questions, concerns. I like talking to you guys. You guys do a great job of engaging with the show. Really love it. So, Matt, with that, it is time. Dun, dun, dun! For our last segment, segment we end every episode with, it is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt? This is a really good one.
It's much better than I remembered. I am looking right around 10 or 11, right around Bart gets hit by a car, old money. I could definitely go better than that, though.
Okay. It's a tricky one.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky. I would put it, again, I don't know, Bellwether. Is it better than Bart the Murderer, do you think? Can you give me a yes or no?
Better than Bart the Murderer? No, I definitely think not.
Not, okay. Is it better than Brush with Greatness?
No. I'm looking right now. You're right. It is better than Bart Gets Hit by a Car. It's definitely better than One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish. It's probably better than Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment.
I think this is a Homer and Lisa episode again, and it's better. I think it's. Yeah. I like it more than Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You have a soft spot for Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment. I know you do.
What can I say? I have a soft spot for any episodes that involve Homer and some sort of numbered list of rules. So, the Eighth Commandment, the 18th Amendment, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I would, personally, I could, I think it's better than Like Father, Like Clown. I liked it more. I think it's tighter. I think the dream sequence, the Homer and Lisa stuff, I think it generally is very funny. Like, it's kind of more of an emotional episode, but there is a lot of funny bits in it. It made me laugh a lot. My debate is it better than Brush with Greatness? And I'm not sure if it is. I think you're right in the Bart the Murderer is better. I don't know if it's... I'm debating if I should put it... If it should be six, or if it should be six or seven. Do you think... Can you get behind better than Like Father, Like Clown?
I would probably put it really close to Like Father, Like Clown. I think I would have to vouch for the number seven. I do think Brush with Greatness is better overall because it's got that heartfeltness and it's really tight. I really like the montages in both this episode and that one. But I just think Brush with Greatness has that specialness that this one does, but not to the degree. So I'm going to have to say number seven.
So it's better than Like Father, Like Clown?
Just barely.
I think it's funnier than Like Father, Like Clown.
Really? I think it's funnier.
I think it is. I think I laughed more at this one. I think their emotional content is on par with each other. They're both very touching.
That's very true. Heartwarming
episodes. I think this one is funnier. I laughed at Homer doing that little, the word bit. Homer, the Slumberland sequences in particular. I mean, I really enjoy those old Little Nemo comics, and seeing that animated in The Simpsons is really, really wonderful. And I think that, like, it's, you get Apu, I can't say that I don't like any Krusty episodes. I love the Krusty episodes. I just think that this one is, emotionally, I'd say it's about the same in the kind of heartwarming department. I think it's just a little funnier. And I think it goes a little further, has more content in it.
Okay, you've definitely convinced me. I think the Homer and the fake words, really, and the Mountain Bellyache, to be honest, because I love ice cream. That is why I will rank this higher than Like Father, Like Clown.
So, ice cream and fake words, guys. That is where this ranking system breaks down to. We have to look at how much ice cream is in each episode and how many fake words are in each episode.
Exactly.
So, new number seven is Lisa's Pony. Lisa's substitute, still number one. Homer's Odyssey, still in last place, now at number 43, excuse me. You can find this list at our website, which is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find every new episode there, downloadable and streaming. You can find links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, easy to follow us there that way, and our links to our RSS feed if you'd like to listen to us through that. Also, obviously, the master list of the best episode ever and broken down per season. And eventually, as we get further along, I may break it down in other ways, too. You can also contact us through the website, you know, and donate to the show if you'd like. There are perks listed. You can get stuff featured on the show, et cetera, et cetera. We obviously very much appreciate that. Let's see. What's next, man? What's our next episode?
Let's see here. What is after Lisa's Pony? Saturdays of Thunder, our first big Martin episode.
Yes, I'm already dreading this one, actually. We're going to have to, there's a Cosby reference in this one, isn't there?
There's a really big one towards the end. Yeesh.
we'll get to it. We'll work
through it. I love this episode.
Otherwise, yeah, it's great. I think it's, I have fond memories, and we'll work past the Cosby. But other than that, let's see. You can find me on Twitter at MixmasterTreal. It's MixmasterTreal. And you can check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. We're on iTunes, all those places. You guys know the internet. It does things for you. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have set up a big 55-gallon drum of water in my backyard. So if you have a ready source of neutrinos and you know where to aim, just send me the encoding scheme you want to use. And while it won't be faster than light, it'll still be fast enough to get a secret message to me.
Matt, every week, every episode, you manage to top yourself on the nerdiest level. I don't know how you do it, but you find ways to get even nerdier with your secret messages, and I applaud you. I'm going to hear. Listen.
Is nothing. You just wait.
Just listen. Here it is. There it is. There's some applause. I think we can call it a day with that. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons. Shh.